بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين صدق الله العظيم محترم بزرگان دین عزیز دوستو دینی بھائیو اور خواتین اسلام الحمدللہ یہ ہمارا آج کا اجلاس بہت ہی سعادت مندی والا برکت کا ذریعہ رحمتوں کا ذریعہ اور رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سیرت طیبہ کے حوالے سے منعقد کیا گیا ہے. اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ سے دعا ہے کہ پروردگار اس کو کامیاب فرمائے جس مقصد کے لیے یہ اجلاسات اور اس طرح کے جلسے منعقد ہوتے ہیں. اس مقصد میں اللہ پاک ہمیں کامیابی نصیب فرمائے اور آنے والے تمام ہی مہمانان نظام کا ہم شکریہ ادا کرتے ہیں, خواتین اسلام کا اور اسٹوڈنٹس جو جہاں یہاں صبح سے جمع ہوئے ہیں ان سبھی حضرات کا. اب بلا کسی زیادہ تمہید کے میں تلاوت کلام اللہ کے ذریعے سے جلسے کا آغاز کرنے کے لیے, جیسا کہ ہم سب جانتے ہیں کہ اللہ رب العزت کا کلام سب سے عظیم کلام, سب سے بابرکت کلام, سب سے عظیم ذات کا کلام, جس کے ذریعے سے ہی ہماری مجلسوں کی ابتدا اور جس کے ذریعے سے ہی ہماری مجلسوں کی انتہا ہوتی ہے, جو اللہ کا وہ مبارک کلام ہے کہ جس کو دیکھنے پر بھی ثواب ہے, جس کے سننے پر بھی ثواب ہے, جس کے پڑھنے پر بھی ثواب ہے, جس کے پہنچانے پر بھی ثواب ہے. تو ایسے عظیم کلام کو اور ایسے عظیم ذات کے کلام کو اور ایسے قرآن مجید کو جس کا ذکر بارہا کلام مجید میں اللہ رب العزت نے فرمایا ہے, اس کے لیے میں جلسے کے آغاز کے لیے ہمارے مدرسے کے محترم موقر استاد محترم اور قاری القرہ مولانا احمد علی صاحب دامت برکاتہم سے گزارش کرتا ہوں کہ آپ تشریف لائیں اور جلسے کا آغاز فرمائیں.
اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء ألا تطغوا في الميزان الأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار وخلق الجان من مارج من نار فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان رب المشرقين ورب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان وله الجوار المنشآت في البحر كالأعلام فبأي آلاء ربكما بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان؟ يسأله من في السماوات والأرض كل يوم هو في شأن. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان؟ صدق الله العظيم.
الحمدللہ مولانا کے بہت مشکور ہیں ہم اپنی دلافری انداز میں انتہائی خوبصورت لہجے میں قرآن مجید سے ہم سب کو سماعت فرما رہے تھے. محترم بزرگوں, جیسا کہ ہم جانتے ہیں کہ اس کائنات میں اللہ رب العزت کے نام کے بعد جس کا نام کو درود رکھا گیا ہے, جس کے نام کو وظیفہ بنایا گیا ہے, جس کا نام مجیب سعادت ہے, جس کا تذکرہ مجیب ہدایت ہے, جن کا نام خدا کے نام کے بعد کلمے میں ہے, جن کا نام جن کا تذکرہ اذانوں میں ہے, نمازوں میں ہے, بلکہ علامہ اقبال نے بڑا ہی خوبصورت شعر پڑھا ہے, کہا ہے, لکھا ہے, خیمہ افلاک کا استاد اسی نام سے ہے, نبض ہستی تپش آمادہ اسی نام سے ہے, جس کا نام نامی اسم گرامی محمد بھی ہے, احمد بھی ہے, محمود بھی ہے, وہ محمد بھی, احمد بھی, محمود بھی, ذات مطلق کا شاہد بھی, مشہود بھی. تو سرور کائنات محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی بارگاہ میں نذرانے عقیدت پیش کرنے کے لیے ہم دعوت دیتے ہیں. مولانا کا شکریہ بھی ادا کرتے ہیں کہ تشریف لائے. مولانا عظیم الدین جواد صاحب, اللہ رب العزت ان کی آمد کو قبول فرمائے, اور ہم ان کے شکر گزار ہیں, مشکور ہیں. مولانا سے انتہائی ادب و احترام کے ساتھ ہم گزارش کرتے ہیں کہ سرکار دو عالم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی بارگاہ میں نذرانے عقیدت پیش فرمائیں.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك, وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات, الأحياء منهم والأموات, إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. In the praise and the honor of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Imam شرف الدين البصيري رحمه الله تعالى has compiled for us Qasida al-Muhammadiyya fi Salat ala Khair al-Bariyya lil Imam al-Busiri rahimahullahu ta'ala. So inshallah ta'ala I will recite the couplets so we don't lose the rhythm and the flow, and afterwards inshallah I will translate the understanding of these beautiful words in the praise of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على شفيعنا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على شفيعنا محمد. اللهم صل محمد اشراف الاعراب والعجم. محمد خير من يمشي على قدمي. محمد باسط المعروف جامعه محمد صاحب الإحسان والكرام محمد تاج رسل الله قاطبة محمد صادق الأقوال والكليم محمد ثابت الميثاق حافظه محمد طيب الأخلاق والشيام محمد رويت بالنور طينته محمد لم يزل نورا من القدم محمد حاكم بالعدل ذو شرف محمد معدن الإنعام والحكام محمد خير خلق الله من مضار محمد خير رسل الله كلهم محمد دينه حق النذير به محمد مجملا حقا على الأمم محمد ذكره روح لأنفسنا محمد شكره فرض على الأمم محمد زينة الدنيا وبهجتها محمد كاشف الغمات والظلام محمد سيد طابت مناقبه محمد صاغه الرحمن بالنعام محمد صفوة الباري وخيارته محمد طاهر من سائر التهم محمد ضاحك للضيف مكرمه محمد جاره والله لن يضامي محمد طابت الدنيا ببعثته محمد جاء بالآيات والحكام محمد يوم بعث الناس شافعونا محمد نوره الهادي من الظلام محمد قائم لله ذو همام محمد قائم لله ذو همام محمد خاتم للرسل كلهم صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. So beautifully it has been mentioned and recited for us that the Master and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the Hadi, Allah made him the Rahbar, Allah made him the guide and the Muallim of this Ummah. And the beautiful praises of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go in such a beautiful manner that the first word is saying Muhammadul Ashraful Arabi wal Ajami, Muhammad is the noblest of the Arabs and the non-Arabs. محمد خير من يمشي على قدمي. Muhammad is the best of those who walk upon legs. Muhammad is a spreader of good and its gatherers. Muhammad is a processor of beneficence and generosity, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is exclusively the crown of Allah's messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. Muhammad is true in his speech and his sayings. Every time we hear the word Muhammad, I want everyone to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam to become, inshallah, examples for the little children who are listening to all of us. Muhammad is an upholder and protector of Covenant, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is of pleasant character and of disposition, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad's natural substance was quenched with divine nur, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad's light has not disappeared since the beginning of time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is an upright judge, possessing honor given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is a source of benefaction and wisdom, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is the best of Allah's creation from the clan of Al-Mudhar, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is exclusively the best of Allah's messengers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad's creed is truth, and we profess and adhere to that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is moderate and decent, befitting of a noble man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad's remembrance is respite for our souls, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad's praise is obligatory upon all of nations, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is the beauty and the adornment of this world, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is a remover of afflictions and darknesses, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is the master, and his virtues are pleasant, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is the one who the most merciful created, full of benefits, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is the creator's best and elite, the VIP that Allah Ta'ala has created, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is unblemished from all evil suspicions, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is cheerful and hospitable to his guest, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad never brought evil to his neighbor, by Allah I swear, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad's emergence caused the world to become delightful, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad came with the Quranic verses and multiple wisdoms, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is our intercessor on the day when humankind is resurrected and we are in need of him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad's nur is a guide out of darkness for all of us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and endowed with ambitions, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is the seal of every single last one of the messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Barakallahu fiik, jazakumullah khair.
شکریہ آپ کا. الحمدللہ محظوظ فرما رہے تھے ہم سب کو, اللہ جزائے خیر دے آپ. محترم بزرگوں اور دوستو, یہ جو اشعار ابھی قصیدہ بردہ کے آپ حضرات کے سامنے پڑھے گئے ہیں وہ خود ایک سیرت کا مکمل بیان ہے. مولانا نے ترجمہ کر دیا ہے, سب جانتے ہیں. تو اب اسی کی وضاحت کے لیے, اسی کی تشریح کے لیے, اور یہ جو زندگی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی ہے, کہ ہمارا موضوع بھی آج کا یہی ہے, سیرت النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اصل جو معیار دنیا کے اندر آپ علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام کے نام لینے والوں کا, آپ کے عاشقان کا, اور آپ سے محبت رکھنے والوں کا ہے, اس کی کا آغاز سیرت سے ہی ہوتا ہے. ہمارے لیے معیار رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے محبت جانچی جائے گی سیرت کے ذریعے سے, اطاعت جانچی جائے گی سیرت کے ذریعے سے, اتباع جانچی جائے گی سیرت کے ذریعے سے, عاشقی جانچی جائے گی سیرت کے ذریعے سے. تو جو شخص جتنا زیادہ آپ علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام کا پیروکار ہے, متبع ہے, ماننے والا ہے, اتباع کرنے والا ہے, اسی حساب سے اس کو جانچا جائے گا کہ عمل کے اندر, کردار کے اندر, اخلاق کے اندر, اپنی زندگی کے اندر وہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے کس قدر لو لگائے ہوئے ہیں. تو میرے محترم بزرگوں, اسی موضوع سے متعلق آپ حضرات کے سامنے خطاب کے لیے اور اہم خطاب کے لیے میں دعوت دیتا ہوں ہمارے نیو جرسی کے عالم دین بلکہ مفتی ادریس عبدالسلام صاحب کو. الحمدللہ جیسا کہ آپ حضرات جانتے ہیں, شریعہ بورڈ جو اپنی تمام مصروفیتوں کو پورے یونائٹڈ اسٹیٹ میں عام کیے ہوئے ہیں, مفتی ادریس صاحب, مفتی برہان صاحب, دیگر نیویارک کی ہماری ٹیم الحمدللہ, اور دیگر علماء اکرام الحمدللہ حضرت کی وساست سے, حضرت کی برکت سے, رحمت سے, شفقت سے اللہ رب العزت نے پورے یونائٹڈ اسٹیٹ میں کام لیا ہوا ہے. یہ حضرات بڑی محنت کرتے ہیں, ہم سب جانتے ہیں. ایچ ایم ایس کا کام ابھی تک تقریباً 200 سے زائد پروگرام ان حضرات نے کیے ہوئے ہیں الحمدللہ. تو عرض یہ کہ ہم بہت ہی ممنون ہیں ان حضرات کے کہ آپ تشریف لائے, اور یہ بھی ہم سب جانتے ہیں کہ یہ شارٹ نوٹس پہ اجتماع ہو گیا ہے, حضرت کا سفر تھا, اس وجہ سے مختصر ہم لوگوں نے اس کو منعقد کرنے کی کوشش کی کہ کسی طریقے سے اس مہینے میں سیرت کا پروگرام ہو جائے. تو 2-3 دن کے اندر ہی آپ حضرات نے دعوت بھی قبول کی, تشریف لائے, اس کے لیے ہم بہت ممنون اور مشکور ہیں. اللہ جزائے خیر دے آپ حضرات کو. میں اس سلسلے میں اپنی کاروائی آگے بڑھاتے ہوئے درخواست کرتا ہوں محترم ادریس صاحب دامت برکاتہم سے کہ آپ اپنے خطاب عالی سے ہم سب کو مستفید فرمائیں.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. فرسٹ تھنگ آئی ریکویسٹ ان شاء اللہ لیٹس امیڈیٹلی پریکٹس آن اے ویری امپورٹنٹ سنہ آف دا صحابہ رضوان اللہ علیہم اجمعین. ان شاء اللہ کم کلوزر, ان شاء اللہ کم کلوزر ٹو دا فرنٹ. The Sahaba used to gather around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a special connection and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is at play when we come and sit together and the hearts are close and joined together, inshaAllah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد, فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة, وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حفظ سنتي أكرمه الله بأربع خصال: المحبة في قلوب البررة, والهيبة في قلوب الفجرة, والسعة في الرزق, والثقة في الدين. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم, ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. I have been tasked with the responsibility to be part of the Muqaddamatul Jaysh, the introduction. The real ulama will inshallah speak thereafter. But we inshallah will discuss a few things about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very noble and blessed gathering. The gathering of Tadhkiratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, doing the dhikr and talking about, mentioning about the mahbub, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, any gathering in which we discuss about Quran, in which we discuss about hadith, in which we discuss about fiqh, in which we discuss about the responsibility as the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is indeed a gathering of Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's Tadhkira Aam, and this is Tadhkira Khas. This is a special gathering knit for this specific purpose. My dear respected brothers and sisters, we all long to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dream. All of us, we want to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do mushahada and do tasawwur of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dream. And if anyone does it, then it's the best day of our life. We are extremely joyful and happy, and we go around telling people. Shah Wasiullah Ilahabadi rahmatullahi alayhi said that yes, this is a great thing, but this is something that's ghayr ikhtiyari. This is something that's out of our control. If we dream, what we dream, how we dream, this is not something within our control. But the purpose of a dream is tasawwur Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to visualize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that can be done every waking moment by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every waking moment, in every step of our day, in every action throughout our life. If we make azam and if we try our best to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is tadhkira in every waking moment. So the purpose is fulfilled, right? So alhamdulillah, we are here for this tadkirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this gathering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave you in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a great and beautiful uswa. In reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us. He is our creator, He is our sustainer, He is creator of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live a certain way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to obey Him and please Him. That is our responsibility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with many purposes. As we heard Mufti Abid recite the ayah, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah blessed the believers by sending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with so many responsibilities. So one of the primary objectives is that Allah is showing us what is beloved to Him. How to live our life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what uswa is, role model. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our role model. Uswa also comes from the word pattern. For example, you have this brick wall. You have one brick and every other brick follows the same exact pattern. Or you have a quilt. The first box, every other box will follow the same pattern. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our role model. He's a pattern for us to follow. And this concept of role model, we have many youth here. It's very important for us to understand, and parents as well, that this concept of role model is related to our psychology. That the way we learn, the way we learn things and develop our personality, the way we become inspired and motivated is by looking at other people. Is by learning and observing from other people. What is the way we learn our first language? Through immersion. 6 month, 1 year old child, 2 year old child, he doesn't sit and learn Nahu, Sarf and Urdu, right, so he can start speaking Urdu. Rather, he just hears his parents. So they're his role models. He learns how to eat, how to drink, through his siblings, through his mother and father. So the first role model of the children are their parents, right? They learn from them. That's why it's very important for us to know that the industries today, in today's time, in terms of those people, entertainment industry, you have cartoons and you have all these things, they understand this concept of role model and how important it is in the development of the child, in the development of the community. So there are many think tanks, there are many people who plan behind the scenes on how we can present role models in front of our children through YouTube, through videos, through different things, so that they can start thinking a certain way, so that they can start behaving a certain way. That's why they put forth superheroes. Nowadays, the biggest thing that all the kids, they are connected to are superheroes. This hero, that hero. Why? Because what do they put in there? That this person, he sacrifices his life to save the people. This person, he establishes justice within the community. This person, he saves the world, right? So the youth are inspired by these things and they become connected and they want to become like those individuals. They want to dress like them. They want to talk like them. They want to walk like them. So this is the reality of how the brain works. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course with those things, there are many strings attached. That's why it's not permissible for us. It's not allowed for us. Unfortunately, we have many of our parents, they allow their children to watch all these things. And everybody, dekhne do, he's just having a fun time. It's just 2 hours of entertainment. But we don't know all the things that are going in their head. They are learning these qualities, they are learning these akhlaq that will motivate them and that will control their thinking for the rest of their lives. So this is the reality of role model. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. For you, in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a role model. Right? So the first role model and who the children follow is the father and the mother. So we should ask ourselves, are we following the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When something happens at home, when our patience is tested, are we yelling and screaming? Are we losing our patience? Are we hitting? Are we lying? You see, children, they're very smart. Children are very, very smart. They understand and they catch hypocrisy in a moment. For a few days and a few weeks, you can trick the child and do something behind their back that they don't know about, but eventually they'll find out. You tell the child, beta, Quran padho, recite Quran, recite your sabak, sit and learn your sabak. So the kid, he'll start reading and reading. Eventually a thought will come to his mind. My father is telling me to read Quran, but he himself is not reading. My father is telling me to be good, but he himself. My father tells me, I heard from the mouth of a child just 2 days ago, his parents were telling him, beta, this phone, this is for my work. I do it for my work. Because why? He was like, I want to watch video, I want to play a game. So I use it for work. It's for work, it's not for you. He said, but you watch videos too, isn't it? He's telling his father. He's telling his parents. So this is how children are. So we have to be the best role models, and we have to learn, and we have to become like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. And the sunnah and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just a sunnah. We hear the word sunnah, right? You know, this is sunnah, this is mustahab, this is nafil, this is wajib. All these terminologies, istilahat, are very important, and they are for a specific purpose, for purpose of fiqh, for the purpose of investigation. And if someone misses something, what is the ruling, what is the hukum? These terms are there. But in reality, the sunnah is at-tariqul masluku fi din, a way that we must follow, a path that we must tread, a person that we must become like. So the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we become like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that we become like the Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihi majma'in. We become like them in every facet of our life, not just in the masjid, in when we come for salah, not just in the month of Ramadan, but every single facet, every aspect of our life. Then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. The hadith I recited, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man hafidha sunnati." Whoever preserves my sunnah, whoever preserves my way of life, whoever becomes like me, أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِأَرْبَعِ خِصَالٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with four things, with four qualities. And if we look at these qualities, it's pretty much what we need. And it's pretty much what we are missing in today's society, due to which we are in khasara, due to which we are, where we are in today's time. The first one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mahabbatu fi qulubi al-barara. That the one who becomes like me, the one who brings my life into his life, then Allah will put love in the hearts of the barara and the righteous people for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the love in the hearts of the righteous for him. Their hearts will be turned towards him. They will have an affinity towards him. And this is the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That say, if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And we know the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, then Allah tells Jibreel alayhi salam, love this individual. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he goes to the other angels, he tells them, love this individual because Allah loves him. And then they come down, eventually يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They have acceptance throughout the world. Things start working in his favor. They have synergies working for them. Imam Qasim al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that the sign of this love is ke upar se niche aati hai. This love flows from the top. That it starts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it goes to the angels, and then it goes to the people, and then it comes to the earth, that even now the animals start loving that individual. Nature starts loving that individual. So this is the result of staying firm on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah puts love in the hearts of other people. And the Sahaba, they made hijrah to Habasha. Right? The first hijrah, they went to Habasha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that go to that land, there's a king who is just there. There's a just king there. And perhaps you may find solace there. So they all went. Some riwayat 17, some 85. But nonetheless, they went there. And the Makkans, they couldn't bear this. Right? How could these people leave? So they sent Amr ibn al-As and Umara and an entire caravan full of gifts, camels and animals, to go and bribe the king and bring them back. So they went there, and the king gave them a place to stay. So when these people came, they told the king that some of our slaves are here. They sought refuge in your kingdom, and this is what they say. They curse Isa alayhi salam, and they do all these things. They are left the gods of our forefathers and the way of our forefathers. So the king, and according to the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was just. he said, I cannot make any decision without hearing their side. So he said, call them. So the messenger came to the Muslim. Now imagine, they're in a foreign country. They're in a new land. They don't know the language. They don't know the culture, right? And now they're being called to the customs office. Now they're being called to the Department of the Border Protection. So imagine how we feel, right? When we're coming from Umrah or coming from India at the airport, we feel like we're the most guilty person, right? We just want to get through the customs. So now imagine their life is in danger. So they do mashwara amongst themselves. This is the riwayah of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She said that they said, "Mada taqulun? What do you say? What should we do?" So Ja'far ibn Talib radiallahu anhu, he was the spokesperson of that group. So they decided that we are going to say nothing except what we know. Wallahi ma naqulu illa ma na'lam, illa ma na'rif. We're only going to say what we know, and this deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we're going to speak about that. And the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he taught us, we're going to speak about that. Ka'inun ma kan. Whatever happens, will happen. Whatever will happen, will happen. We're going to say the truth and what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. So they made this decision and they went forth. And then we know the rest of the story. That Ja'far ibn Talib, he spoke up when he was asked. He said, yes, O king. First of all, when Amr ibn al-As came from Mecca, he bowed to the king. He didn't sajda to the king. But when Ja'far ibn Talib came in front of the king, he did not bow. So the people said, why aren't you bowing? This is the king, he's Malik. He said, no, we don't bow to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this gave ru'b. This gave awe and respect in the hearts of all the people there. They respected that. And then they said, yes, we obeyed this prophet who, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who we knew from before. And we used to be a people who used to bury our girls. We used to be people who used to harm our neighbors. We used to do all these things. And he came and he changed our entire moral standard. He changed our entire morality. Now we are good people. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we honor our neighbors. We do this and we do that. And then he asked about, and then further discussions, he asked about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he recited Surah Maryam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he put love in the heart of the Najashi, the king of Habasha, for the Muslims. And he allowed them to go. And he said, man sabbakum gharam, man sabbakum gharam, man sabbakum gharam. Whoever now harms you, whoever curses at you, then he will be penalized. He is finished. And he said this three times. And when he heard Surah Maryam, he said, he started crying. And he said, the source of this what you are reciting and the source of what we have is the same. The source of what you are reciting and the source of what we have from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is one. And some riwayat state that he said, if I had time, if I was able to, I would go and I would massage the feet of this prophet of yours, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we know the rest of the story. So the Sahaba were in a foreign land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put love in the hearts of people around them. Why? Because they stuck to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were not scared. Al-mahabbatu fi qulubi al-barara. And the ulama say the other way around. Wal-bughdu fi qulubi, that when a person is loved by, and if a person loves those fajara, those sinners, then this is a sign that we are on the wrong track. So the second, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْهَيْبَةُ فِي قُلُوبِ الْفَجَرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts awe and respect in the hearts of the sinners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts awe and respect in the hearts of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, today we see that we are in awe of everyone. We are maghloob. We have an inferiority complex from everyone. The Muslimin, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Sahaba that a day will come that the people will be eating the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just like they come on a dastarkhan and they eat food. It's a plate of biryani, we're all hungry, there's burgers. We go, what do? We attack. We eat, right? So similarly, the Muslims will be devoured in this way. So the Sahaba, radhiyallahu anhu, they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will we be in less number? Will we be in low number? Is that why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. Rather, you'll be in large numbers. You'll be in great quantity. Right now, how many are we? 2 billion more. Right? You'll be in large numbers. But you will be like the foam on the sea. You'll be like the scum in the ocean that goes left and right with the waves. It has no firmness. Right? So that's how you will be. And the Sahaba asked why. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because of wahan. Because of wahan, which is hubb al-dunya wa karaha al-maut. Love of this world and fear of death. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the haybah and the fear and the awe in the hearts of others will be removed because of this. So if we follow and bring the full deen in our lives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give haybah in the hearts of others. And there are many stories that can be discussed, but we don't have much time. So we move on. The next is wasa'atu fil rizq. That if we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will give us barakah in our rizq. Allah will give us ease in our sustenance. And this is the biggest source of our worry nowadays. The biggest source of our anxiety, right? This is what we all look for. We ask for wazifa, we ask for dua, we ask for this and that, so we can have barakah in our rizq, right? So, sa'atu fi rizq. Qatada radiallahu anhu, one sahabi, one day his wife narrates that one day he went out to relieve himself. Before they had bathrooms outside in the jungle, in the desert. So they would go. So he went in the jungle under a tree and he was relieving himself. To his awe, he saw there was a hole in the ground. A mouse came out and brought out a dirham, a coin. And then he went back inside and brought out another coin. Went back inside, brought another coin. And he was watching in amazement and astonishment. What is going on? Eventually 17 coins were brought out by that little mouse or rodent. And there was a huge pile. So when he finished, what would you and I have done in this situation? We would have taken that and run. Right? Go and bought a car, or go and put it in investment or something. You know, I found this. Khalas, it's mine. No. What did he do? He took it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he wanted the right hukum about it. What is the hukum for this dirham? What is the hukum for me? Is it halal for me or not? What is this? So he took it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did you put your hand inside the hole? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you put your hand inside the hole? And he said, no, I did not, ya Rasulullah. I did not put my hand inside the hole. He said, then this is for you. This is for you. You don't have to give any sadaqah. This is completely halal for you. This belongs to you. So he took it and he kept it, right? And then his wife says that because of that 17 dirham, there was so much barakah. There was so much sa'ah. There was so much growth in that wealth that until the day he died, there were piles and piles of silver and gold inside his house. Why? Because the barakah of asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inquiring from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to receive the right hukum on what I should do, how I should behave in this situation. Many times we have a decision to make. It's either the deen, the way of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the way of dunya. When we make the decision based on the deen, then we see barakah. Yes, there may be a storm. There may be a storm that we have to weather. And once a storm is over, the peace and the tranquility and the contentment that will come, there is no comparison. Finally, my dear brothers and sisters, وَثِقَةُ فِي الدِّينِ. That if we follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and stay firm in practicing the deen completely, Allah will give us conviction and yaqeen in our deen. And this is very important, especially in today's time, in a time when there's zalzala in our aqa'id, in which the youth and men and adults, like both of them, are having doubts about their deen. How many youth come to us and say, Mufti Sahib, we're having this doubt, we're having doubts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're having these thoughts, we're having that thought. My dear brothers and sisters, if we follow the deen, there's a built-in system to protect our iman, to protect our aqeedah, to protect our actions. Let's take the zahiri libas, the zahiri sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that many of us minimize. Looking like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not so important. As long as you have taqwa in your heart, as long as you perform your salah, you're okay. You don't have to dress the sunnah way. There's no sunnah libas. Right? That's what people say nowadays. Many people are saying this. The reality, my dear brother and sister, there's protection in this for us. The hukum on one side. What is the hukum of it? But there is a built-in protection. Our Hazrat, we heard an incident, anecdote from him, that in Hyderabad once, there was a fire in the community, in their village. And one of the girls, she burned. She had burns over her body. So she went to the hospital. So they all went to the hospital to find out what happened. So they asked the doctor. The doctor said, you know, all her organs are fine. Her heart, her liver, her stomach, her brain, everything is fine. There's no issue whatsoever. But she probably won't survive. She will not survive. Why? All her limbs are okay. All her organs are working, functioning properly. Why is she not survive? Why? Because her skin is burnt. 70-80% of her skin has burnt. So how is that? Well, the skin serves a very important function. It stops the viruses and the funguses and all those things that are harmful for the body from coming inside. It protects the body. So it serves that function. If the skin is burnt, then all the virus will come inside the body and it will kill the body. So Hazrat says that I learned a lesson from this. That the skin, just like the skin serves a very important function, the dahiri libas serves a very important function. Hazrat said that ghaflat ke mauke par libas apne ko bachata hai. That in a moment of heedlessness, that I'm not thinking, I'm in a moment in which I'm being tested, or I'm in an environment where there are distractions. If I am looking like a Muslim, if I am looking like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a beard and something on my head and a jubba or kurta, then the people will not bother me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me. And this built-in system is everywhere, right? Just like in a car. In a car, if you're driving and there's a skid in the road, then what happens? The ABS system comes in. You have the airbag system. If you are going to crash, the airbags come and protects you. Same way we have this. And this is very important. I cannot emphasize this enough. We have the brothers here. Those who have been through high school, those who have been through college, those who work in corporate, they can tell you how much the outward sunnah, looking like a Muslim outwardly, protects their iman, protects them from distractions, protects them from other individuals. This is the reality. And also, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to present our Islam. We have to present the deen. We have to present the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to those people around us. This is our responsibility. As I said, that Imam Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say that our salah is in the masjid. Hajj is in Mecca. Fasting is in our stomach. So what do we show our neighbors? What do we show our co-workers? What do we show those people who are walking in the street? Those people who look at us while we're driving? We show our character. We show our akhlaq. We show our morality, right? This is very, very important. That's why when you're driving, I was once driving with my teacher, Hazrat Mufti Noman Sahib from New York. And I was driving, and in New York, what we do is we like to come at the end and just join the lane, right? We don't want to wait in line. I think, I don't know if they do that here as well. But obviously, that's not ideal to do. People start staring at you, who is this person? So I did that once, and Mufti Sahib, you know what he did? It's really ajeeb. He took his topi off. Topi utar diya. And I was like, why'd you take it? He's like, yeah, I don't want them to know that, look, a Muslim is doing this. I don't want them to know that a Muslim is doing this. Why? Because then they will have an aversion. When you look like a Muslim and you behave the wrong way, then people will be averse to it. People will become averse to Islam. How many times we're driving on the street, someone cut us off. We got road rage. Right? Someone called Sharia board. He said, my husband, he has road rage. Every time on the road, he starts chasing people. People start chasing him. He honks at people every day. What is this? Right? So we have to present Islam. In order to do that, we have to look like a Muslim. We have to look like a Muslim. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. A very beautiful dua. And one way we understand this dua, the Mufassirin have said that, oh Allah, don't make us a fitna. Don't make us, the Muslims, a fitna, a trial for the ظالمين, for the oppressors, for the non-believers. So how can we become a test for them? Right? We talk about, mashallah, fulan became Muslim, fulan became Muslim, fulan became Muslim. Do we ever talk about how many people became averse to Islam because of my actions? Because of my immorality? Because I wasn't the best citizen at work? Because I lie? Because I don't treat my neighbors kindly? Because I leave the garbage out? Because I park in the wrong way? So we have to exemplify the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ as a form of da'wah. As a form of da'wah. I'll end with this story. There was one rahib. There was one rahib. He was a Jewish rabbi. And he says, this is a hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu. He says that I saw this, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I recognized all the signs of prophethood in him except two. Those are that يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ جَهْلًا وَلَا تَزِيدُ شِدُّ الْجَهْلُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا. He said that, I recognize all the Prophet's qualities and the signs of the Prophet except two, that he was very forbearant. When people would be ignorant in front of him, someone would tick him off, someone would get angry at him, someone would do something, doesn't make any sense. So instead of reacting, he would be forbearant and patient. Right? So he said, I was looking for a situation to test this. So he says that a person, Arabi, came and asked for some money. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't have it. So he said, I stepped forth and I gave him a loan. I said, here, take this, give it to him, you can pay me back on a deferred payment a few weeks later. So, few days before the date when he has to pay back, Zayd ibn Su'na, this rahib, this rabbi, he comes to Rasulullah ﷺ while Rasulullah ﷺ, Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and others were standing. He comes and he grabs his kurta and he pulls it. He says, you, Banu Hashim, you people, you are, you just procrastinate. You are lazy, you don't pay back your debts. Right? When there's still a few days left. So this is complete jahil behavior, right? Complete out of his mind. So he says, I was looking at Rasulullah ﷺ. He had complete itmi'nan and calmness on his face. But I looked at Umar radiallahu anhu, I saw that aynahu tadurani. Right? His eyes are round and he's looking at me, he's staring at me. And he says that basically he threatened him. He threatened him. Right? This is Umar radiallahu anhu. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he told him, Ya Umar radiallahu anhu, he is supposed to ask nicely and we're supposed to give nicely. That's what should have been done. But since you threatened him, now go take him to Baytul Mal, give him what is owed to him and give him 10 extra dirham. مَكَانَ رُعْتَهُ, because you threatened him. So Umar radiallahu anhu takes him. خلاص, it's the hukum of Rasulullah, no matter what he did. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I have to go, I have to comply. So he goes and he gave it to him and he gave him 10 extra. So Zayd says, what is this 10 extra for? He says, yes, Rasulullah ﷺ told me to give you 10 extra because I threatened you. So Zayd ibn Su'na, he says, do you know who I am? He says, no, I don't know who you are. He says, Anna Zayd. Zayd ibn Su'na. Umar says, Zayd the Rahib? Zayd the Rabbi? He says, yes. Then why did you do this? Rahib are usually known to be respectful. He said, I did it because I wanted to test Rasulullah ﷺ. أَشْهَدُ أَنِّي رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. He said, I testify that I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb and Rasulullah as my Prophet. And he said, I make waqf half of my wealth for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he became Muslim. Right? So this behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the behavior of Umar radiallahu anhu and the rest of the Sahaba, the other people would look at their behavior and they would be interested in Islam. They would come closer to Islam. So this is our responsibility. If we bring the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives, Allah's love will come to us, the love of the people will come to us, Allah will give awe and respect in the hearts of other people, Allah will give us barakah in our wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep us firm on His deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from doubts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all the tawfiq to act on what has been said. Jazakumullahu khairan wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الحمدللہ مولانا کے ہم بہت مشہور ہیں کہ اپنے قیمتی خطاب سے مستفید فرما رہے تھے. اب میں نئے احباب کے لیے تھوڑی سی چاشنی مزید پیدا کرنے کے لیے ہمارے کینیڈا سے آئے ہوئے جناب محترم حامد صاحب سے درخواست کرتا ہوں کہ وہ تشریف لائیں اور نعت شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کریں. الحمدللہ قریب کے لوگ بھی ہیں اور اس جلسے کی رونق تفرز بنانے کے لیے کینیڈا سے بھی تشریف لائے ہوئے احباب ہیں. ہم ان کا بہت شکر گزار ہیں کہ آپ تشریف لائے. تشریف جزاکم اللہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. سب سے پہلے تو میں بہت زیادہ مشکور ہوں ہمارے جناب حضرت مفتی عابد صاحب اور ہمارے حضرت مفتی حامد صاحب کا کہ انہوں نے مجھ سے ناچیز کو اس بات کی اجازت دی کہ میں کچھ نعت کے اشعار آپ کی خدمت میں پیش کر سکوں ان شاء اللہ تعالیٰ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین.
اللہ نے یہ شان بڑھائی تیرے در کی. اللہ نے یہ شان بڑھائی تیرے در کی. بخشی ہے ملائک کو گدائی تیرے در کی، بخشی ہے ملائک کو گدائی تیرے در کی، اللہ نے یہ شان بڑھائی تیرے در کی، حوروں نے ملائک نے اور جنان نے بشر نے، حوروں نے ملائک نے اور جنان نے بشر نے، کس کس نے کہاں بھیک نہ پائی تیرے در کی، اللہ نے یہ شان بڑھائی تیرے در کی، اللہ کے گھر سے ہے رسائی تیرے در تک، اللہ کے گھر سے ہے رسائی تیرے در تک، اللہ کے گھر تک ہے رسائی تیرے در کی، اللہ کے گھر تک ہے رسائی تیرے در کی، اللہ نے یہ شان بڑھائی تیرے در کی، سینے میں بھرا ہے تیری نعتوں کا خزانہ، سینے میں بھرا ہے تیری نعتوں کا خزانہ، عالم میں لٹاتا ہوں کمائی تیرے در کی، عالم میں لٹاتا ہوں کمائی تیرے در کی، اللہ نے یہ شان بڑھائی تیرے در کی، آخری شعر ہے، محشر میں بھی اس شان سے جاؤں گا منور، محشر میں بھی اس شان سے جاؤں گا منور، رکھے ہوئے کاندھے پہ چٹائی تیرے در کی، رکھے ہوئے کاندھے پہ چٹائی تیرے در کی، اللہ نے یہ شان بڑھائی تیرے در کی،
جزاک اللہ خیر.
محترم بزرگان دین، آپ حضرات بہت ہی سنجیدگی کے ساتھ اور وقار کے ساتھ تشریف فرما ہیں، ہمارے لیے بہت مجلس کے لیے اور اس گھڑی کے لیے بہت ہی اہمیت کی یہ چیز ہے. ہم خواتین سے بھی گزارش کرتے ہیں کہ وہ اس سنجیدگی اور متانت کو برقرار رکھیں اور توجہ سے سماعت فرمائیں. ابھی محترم ادری صاحب دامت برکاتہم تفصیلات الحمدللہ ہمارے سامنے گوش گزار کر رہے تھے، اس میں شریعہ بورڈ کے آنے والے مختلف احوال کا انہوں نے ایک تذکرہ کیا ہے کہ فون آتے ہیں مختلف لوگوں کے حالات سے متعلق. مجھے اس موقع سے ایک بات یاد آئی، مختصرا عرض کر دیتا ہوں کہ ہم الحمدللہ تعالی نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت ہیں اور اللہ رب العزت نے شرف عطا فرمایا ہے، اور اس امت کو جب سب سے پہلے وحی آئی ہے، وہ اقرا کی آئی ہے پڑھنے کی، ہمارے پاس میں رواج مسلم امہ کے اندر پڑھنے پڑھانے کا بہت کم ہے. عجیب ماحول ہے کہ کتابوں سے ہم لوگ ایسا رویہ رکھتے ہیں کہ گویا الرجی ہے، دینی کتابوں سے بھی ہم کو تعلق نہیں ہے، نہ ہمارے ایجوکیشن کے جو اب تک پڑھے ہوئے ہیں، نہ آگے پڑھنے کا ہے کوئی ماحول قائم رکھنا ہم لوگ چاہتے ہیں. تو اس کی وجہ سے اخلاق میں بھی فرق پڑتا ہے, بات چیت میں بھی فرق پڑتا ہے, سلیقہ مندی میں بھی فرق پڑتا ہے, اور معاملات میں بھی فرق پڑتا ہے, معاشرت میں بھی فرق پڑتا ہے. تو تعلیم کی کمی, پڑھنے پڑھانے کی کمی, کتابوں سے وابستگی کی کمی, یہ چیز آدمی کو بہت سی جگہوں پر متاثر کرتی ہے. میں عرض یہ کرنا چاہتا ہوں کہ ہمارے پاس جو مختلف فون آتے ہیں, لوگوں کے سوالات سے اندازہ ہو جاتا ہے کہ یہاں اس جیسے ملک میں آ کر بھی اپنے لوگ عجیب عجیب قسم کی باتیں کرتے ہیں. ایک خاتون کا فون آیا حال ہی میں, سیدھا فون کیا انہوں نے, میں نے کہا السلام علیکم, تو انہوں نے کہا کہ کھلا ہونا ہے. میں نے کہا کہ کتنے کلو, کتنے کلو چاہیے, ایسا تو سوال نہیں ہوتا نا بھائی. میں سلام کر رہا ہوں, آپ بھی سلام کریں, مقصد کیا ہے, کیوں کیا جا رہا ہے فون, ساری چیزیں ہونی چاہیے. تو مسلم امہ کا یہ حال ہے. تو اخلاق کی بڑی کمی, معاملات کی بڑی کمی, پڑھائی کی, تعلیم کی کمی ہمارے پاس میں ہے. تو ان شاء اللہ تعالیٰ اس حوالے سے آپ حضرات کے سامنے گفتگو کرنے کے لیے اور خطاب سے مستفید کرنے کے لیے نیو یارک کے محترم مفتی برہان الدین صاحب سے میں گزارش کرتا ہوں کہ اپنے قیمتی باتوں سے ہم سب کو مستفید فرمائیں. جزاک اللہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
وعلیکم السلام.
الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبی بعد, اما بعد, فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم, بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم, ورفعنا لك ذکرك, وقال الله جل وعلا وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال الشاعر لم أمدحك تفخيما بشعري, لم أمدحك تفخيما بشعري, ولكن مدحت بك المديح, وما إن مدحت محمدا بمقالتي, ولكن مدحت مقالتي بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Everyone read درود إبراهيم one time. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. The time is very limited. Hazrat is here. I asked permission from Mufti Abid Sahab that I don't do this Be'adabi by speaking at this time when Hazrat is already here. We need to hear the important words of guidance from Hazrat, and inshallah we will very soon. I don't want to take any extra time. When Hazrat is ready, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to finish as soon as possible, inshallah ta'ala. There's a hukum of our elders that we say something, and the reality is when we say it, the closest two ears to my mouth, the closest two ears to my mouth is which one? My own ears. My own ears. So the reality is, I hope that I can benefit from this, inshallah ta'ala. And I read two pieces of shi'r and two ayat in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promised the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time when he felt he was rejected by the people. He felt he was losing and he was not able to accomplish the mission, the azeem, azeem, the great mission that Allah ta'ala gave him. He felt that he was there was no way for him forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in multiple series of ayat in different places, Allah Ta'ala, He consoled His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى, your Lord will never forsake you, your Lord will never leave you. And in the midst of this, in surah, in Shirah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, we have elevated your dhikr, you have elevated your remembrance very high, very high. So one understanding of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's remembrance, anywhere it be remembered, anywhere it be told and heard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses that gathering and everyone in it. We hope to be part of that blessing. We hope to be part of that azeem,
a great ni'mah Allah Ta'ala and fadl Allah Ta'ala gave His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu, and this sha'ar I wrote, I recited, that the sha'ir, he says that ma lam amdahka tafkhiman bi sha'ri, that I didn't praise you in any way by these words of mine. I didn't praise you in any way. Rather, walakin madahtu bika al-madiha. The reality is, the words of praise are now praised because your name is inside of them. And ma in madahtu maqalati bi Muhammad, ma in madahtu Muhammadan bi maqalati, that I haven't really praised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by any of my words. Walakin madahtu maqalati bi Muhammadi. The reality is, my words are now blessed, are praised because they have the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in them. We notice one thing. I see a lot of my younger brothers here, alhamdulillah. This is a very big blessing. Very big blessing, alhamdulillah. Usually we're talking to people who look like me or older than me. And that scares me. Because what's going to happen after I turn like the uncle who's sitting in front of me, and then there's no one to hear behind after me? What's going to happen to these masajid? We're building them with millions of dollars, and we don't have the people to fill them. We don't have the people to come. We don't have the sources of guidance coming from them. The reality is, they're going to be, you see, we're buying churches now. We're buying churches and making them into masajid. One day, na'udhu billah, that our masajid be sold to become some kind of club again. Na'udhu billah. We can see what happens in places like even Turkey, and places like Spain, and places even Uzbekistan, where they took the masajid and the atheists took over, and then they made them into museums. They made them into halls. They made them into this. They made them into that. Allah protect us. We have to realize where we are and what we're doing exactly. We are the first generation, my dear younger brothers. I'm talking to you. I am your older brother along the way. Mufti Idris, myself, and many others of us, alhamdulillah, Imam Sahib as well, mashallah. We are your generation. Our fathers came to this country. Our fathers came over here, and we grew up here, born here, grew up here. We went through the same things that you go through, are going through, went through, and are going to go through. So I'm an older brother for you, who's ahead in the road, and he just saw which way there's a turn. So he's telling you, there's a right turn here, there's a left turn there. Be careful. Like you're on a bike trail, right? It curves. All of a sudden, there's a sharp curve. So if someone ahead of you tells you, there's a curve, you're thankful to him. I hope I can do at least that much. So we have to realize where we are. We have to realize we're first generation in this country. And the reality is, if we can hold on to deen, then the generations after us will be able to hold on to deen. We hold the place of like Nuh alayhi salam's boat for the generations coming after. Because all of these generations are on our back. They're on us. They're coming to this dunya through us. And the next generation and the generations after, they're going to have deen if we can bring deen into ourselves. Reality is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seerah, it's a blessing. Mufti Hafiz Sahib said we came on short notice. I feel that just one, Hazrat told us to come, and second, the reality, because it's a seerah program of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if I came across the world, forget about across the country, from across the world, is nothing, reality is, it's nothing. Point is, the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll notice one thing, my young brothers, that we mention it all the time. Everywhere and every time we sit and we talk, we mention it. But no one gets bored of hearing it. This is a ni'mah of Allah. This is a blessing Allah Ta'ala gave to us. He gave us such a Rasul, such a Nabi, such a Habib, such a messenger, such a Nabi of His, that His remembrance will be remembered over and over again. His life will be remembered over and over again. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala puts new flavor in it, puts new taste in it, puts more and more of our attention into it every time we hear it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us by the dhikr of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a blessing for us to just take His name.
That's one thing I want to say. Second thing I want to say, that the particular Mufti Adisab touched on that and was started talking about that, and I wish Mufti Saab would continue. We don't have the time, and Mufti Saab, mashallah, he has a lot to share with us. That what is the way for us to bring deen into our lives? It's one word, it's a simple word. That is the sunnah. The sunnah, the definition of the sunnah is the way of taqwa, the way to have proper taqwa, the way to save ourselves from jahannam, the way to bring the pleasure of Allah, the way to bring the complete deen into our lives. That is the sunnah. The sunnah is exactly step by step that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. Now you have a, you know, we visited Austin for HMS work, alhamdulillah, just, 2 weeks ago. And in Austin, they have the biggest Tesla factory, right? The headquarters of the Tesla now. So they had outside of the factory, they had all these, you know, model cars out there. And they make the model car, why? To show you what the perfect car is supposed to look like. Now they make a model there, and then the people who are making it, they don't follow the model. They make it different. They make it less quality. They make it deficient. The person who's going to buy said, no, the model, this is the perfect one. Every car is supposed to be like this one. And every maker after that tries to make the car like the perfect one. That's when everyone has proper satisfaction in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a perfect model of a human being. A perfect model of human being. And each and every time we try to emulate him, we follow him, we try to bring our life like his life, we are trying to be like the perfect human being. And every single person who is guided to Sirat-e Mustaqim, who is guided to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a better human being, is a better citizen, is a better person, is a better father, is a better mother, is a better brother, is a better sister, better employer, better employee. Every single person who has sunnah in their life is a better human being altogether. That's the reality of what we're trying to accomplish by listening to the sunnah and the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to bring it into our life. The final thing I want to say is the thing that will bring our deen, as Mufti Idris Sahib said, our deen has different parts in it. That which is, there are five parts that make up our deen. Our beliefs, number one, are aqaid, our beliefs, they make up our deen. They're inside our heart. They are expressed with our tongue. We believe them with our mind. There's number two, our ibadat, we worship Allah Ta'ala. Those ibadat like salat and sawm and hajj and zakat, they're between me and Allah. If I do it for anyone else, it's rejected in my face. The other parts of the deen are all related to people around me, the people I live with, the people I work with, the people I interact with. If you're a student, the people you study with. If you're an employee, the people, your colleagues you work with. If you're a boss, then your subordinates, the people under you, your dependents. If you're a father, your children. If you're a mother, your family. If you're a wife, your husband, etc., etc., etc. The rest of the deen is related to all of these people. All of the other makhluq of Allah, the ibad Allah. That is our mu'amalat, how we transact with people, our mu'asharat, how we live our social life with people, and our akhlaq. Those characteristics that define who we are. These things are those that which people see in us. That's how they define a Muslim. That's how they define, this is what a Muslim is supposed to be like. Like one person, I got into a small little accident while I was backing up. I hit someone's car. So they came, you know, some people around there, they came running. Oh, who? Call the insurance, call the cops. Who's going to pay for this? I said, brother, I hit the person's car. I'm going to pay for it because I'm Muslim. I don't cheat people. This is a quality that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to be like. We don't cheat people. This is what a Muslim is supposed to be like. So you know, it was a non-Muslim. He just smiled. He said, oh, okay, no problem. It was unthinkable to them that you could be so honest. It was unthinkable. This is what an insan is supposed to be like. It's not me that's special. It's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this akhlaq of ours, And when we say akhlaq, there's a istilahi akhlaq, those characteristics that define a person. And then the akhlaq, we mean in the general term, that the qualities that a person has in dealing with people and in transacting with people, and that which people see in them. This, my dear brothers and elders, and my dear beloved youth, is what we need to bring into our life. There's very simple akhlaq that we can bring. Simple akhlaq. You know, I'll just finish with this hadith in maybe 2 minutes, and we can inshallah ta'ala get to our real program after that, like what Fatidi Sahib said. We want to hear from the real ulama ikram. That when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received the wahi and he came back home, first time he received wahi, he came back home, he was very disturbed by it, and he said to his wife, I think I'm not going to survive this, you know, big thing that happened to me. Like, he saw an angel and he gave him wahi and he gave the responsibility of guiding and teaching all of mankind, and he starts with the Arabs. It's a big responsibility. He said, I don't think I can survive this thing that happened to me. So then they said, Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife and the model wife, the way a wife is supposed to be, she gave him condolence. She consoled him. She said that, Kalla, wallahi la yakhzika Allahu abada. No, not possible. Allah will never destroy you this way. Allah will never punish you this way. It's not possible. And then she listed out some characteristics that we see if we can bring in our life, you see how beautiful our life and society will be at large. She said, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. Number one quality, these are the characteristics Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had even before the wahi came. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. You take care of your relatives. Number one quality, taking care of the relatives, regardless who they are, brothers. Regardless, brothers and sisters, regardless of whether they like me or they don't like me, whether they treat me well or they don't treat me well, taking care of relatives. Just because Allah made me their relative, or Allah made them my relative. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. Number two, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. You carry people's burden. Physical burden. You know, famous story, there was a woman who hated Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She was leaving Makkah because she hated him so much. And while she's moving her stuff, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is walking by, and he sees this old woman, she's carrying something heavy. Says, can I help you? She says, of course. She doesn't know who he is. She says, of course he can help me. So he started carrying and walking, and she says that there's this man in Muhammad, he's crazy, he's a magician, he's a liar, he's a etc. Everything she could say about him. And I tell you, my nephew, stay away from him. He's a really bad man. Na'udhu billah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say a single word. He got her to where she needs to get to, put her stuff down, and turning away. She said, well, who are you? You didn't tell me your name. He said, I'm that Muhammad you were talking about. She said, you're Muhammad? I'm Muhammad. Said, if you're Muhammad, you cannot be a liar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. She gave shahadat on the spot by seeing his akhlaq, this simple khulq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this simple etiquette, these courtesies, simple things. And then the bigger burden we have on our shoulders, brothers, that burden that felt make Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam feel like he's going to die. Why can't I guide these people away from Jahannam? لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. You're about to give your life up, why don't they become believers? That burden on my shoulder, how can I save them from Jahannam? The spiritual, ruhani, dini. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبُ. You earn for the one who's not there. You earn for the one who cannot earn. Now we earn, and if we give sadaqah, we think like, oh, we did a big deal. We did a big feat, you know, we did something huge. No, he used to earn to give to people who were not able to earn. Subhanallah, this is a huge characteristic. We can't imagine just earning for people who are incapable. You take care of your guests a lot. And تُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. You help the people who are afflicted with calamities, who are oppressed, who are in difficult problems. And they, because they're upon haqq, then no one helps them. You help such people. These characteristics are social characteristics that we can bring in our life to make our life beautiful with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to make the society beautified by the fragrance of the sunnah of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhi da'wan alhamdulillahi bil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے اخلاق طیبہ کے حوالے سے ہم سن رہے تھے حضرت مولانا شاہ جمال الرحمن صاحب دامت برکاتہم کا شعر ہے حسن باطن میں آپ اکمل ہیں حسن ظاہر میں آپ اجمل ہیں بے تأمل عقل یہ کہتی ہے کل خلائق میں آپ افضل ہیں رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ہم کو اگر فضیلت چاہیے تو حضور کے اخلاق کو حضور کی سیرت کو اپنانے میں ہم کو فضیلت ملے گی بڑائی ملے گی کہنے والے نے کہا ہے کہ جس نے ذروں کو اٹھایا اور صحرا کہہ دیا جس نے پتھروں کو ملایا اور دریا کر دیا جو نہ تھے خود راہ پر اوروں کے ہادی بن گئے کیا نظر تھی جس نے مردوں کو مسیحا کر دیا میں اپنے جلسے کی کارروائی آگے بڑھاتے ہوئے مولانا عظیم الدین جواد صاحب سے گزارش کرتا ہوں کہ مجلس میں دوبارہ رونق لگانے کے لیے نعت شریف سے ہم سب کو محظوظ فرمائیں
پانی بھیجا دیے
We as the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that Allah ta'ala has chosen the Mubarak Maqam Madina al-Munawwara, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived the last 10 years of his life, and that is his place of rest until the appointed time, until the appointed hour. And all those people who have this uncontrollable love in their hearts until the last time, the place of rest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also beloved to us and also near and dear to our hearts. And this Naat Sharif is speaking about the maqam and the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With adab and ihtiram, let's recite salawat ala Nabi 3 times before we recite this Naat Sharif. Allahumma salli wa sallim alaihi. Shukrana Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim alaihi. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala habibina Muhammad.
Meri ulfat madine se yun hi nahi mere aqa ka roza madine mein hai meri ulfat madine se yun hi nahi mere aqa ka roza madine mein hai main madine ki janib na kaise khinchu mera to jeena marna madine mein hai main madine ki janib na kaise khinchu mera to jeena marna madine mein hai arsh-e-azam se jiski badi shaan hai Roza-e-Mustafa jinki pehchan hai Arsh-e-Azam se jinki badi shaan hai Roza-e-Mustafa jiski pehchan hai Jiska hum palla koi muhalla nahi Ek aisa muhalla madine mein hai Jiska hum palla koi muhalla nahi ایک ایسا محلہ مدینے میں ہے پھر مجھے موت کا کوئی خطرہ نہ ہو موت کیا زندگی کی بھی پرواہ نہ ہو پھر مجھے موت کا کوئی خطرہ نہ ہو موت کیا زندگی کی بھی پرواہ نہ ہو کاش سرکار ایک بار مجھ سے کہیں اب تیرا مرنا جینا مدینے میں ہے کاش سرکار ایک بار مجھ سے کہیں اب تیرا مرنا جینا مدینے میں ہے سرور دو جہاں سے دعا ہے میری ہاں ود چشم تر التجا ہے میری سرور دو جہاں سے دعا ہے میری ہاں ود چشم تر التجا ہے میری ان کی فہرست میں میرا بھی نام ہو جن کا روزانہ جانا مدینے میں ہے ان کی فہرست میں میرا نام بھی ہو جن کا روزانہ جانا مدینے میں ہے جب نظر صورت براوان ہوئی ساتھ دل بھی گیا ساتھ جان بھی گئی جب نظر صورت براوان ہوئی ساتھ دل بھی گیا ساتھ جان بھی گئی میں اب رہوں گا یہاں کس لیے میرا سارا اثاثہ مدینے میں ہے میں اب رہوں گا یہاں کس لیے میرا سارا اثاثہ مدینے میں ہے صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین جزاک اللہ خیرا وبارک اللہ
نماز کا اہتمام جو ہے ان شاء اللہ تعالیٰ پروگرام کے بعد ہوگا جو حضرات پرانی ٹائمنگ کے حساب سے سوچے ہوئے ان کے لیے یادداشت کے لیے عرض کیا جا رہا ہے ہم اس پروگرام کو آگے بڑھاتے ہوئے ہمارے اس جلسے کے اہم مقرر اور ہم سب کے ممدوح مخدوم اور معروف و مشہور استاد العلوم شکاگو استاد حدیث مفتی محمد ابرار الحق صاحب دامت برکاتہم سے گزارش کرتا ہوں کہ اس موقع سے ہم سب کو اپنے قیمتی حساب سے مستفید فرمائیں
ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله واصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوتهم الى يوم الدين These programs are regularly held so that we can revive our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we also remind ourselves about our akabir about our aslaf and how they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how they followed him sallallahu alaihi wasallam Mufti Burhan Sahib, he was talking, so I remembered the story. Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, mentioned his father, he became unwell. And he was making a big fuss. I have this much pain, this much trouble. And this was the habit of his father, Rahimahullah. By the way, Qari Tayyib Sahib, Rahimahullah, he is the grandson of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib, Rahimahullah, who was the founder of Darul Uloom in Deoband. Obviously, Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib, he is a big alim in his own right. But son is a son. Even if you are a big alim, at the end of the day, you are a son. So one day, with all the respect and with all the adab, he mentioned to his father that you have a little trouble and you make a big fuss. Isn't this against the taslim bil qada and rida bil qada? You know, Allah has decided something for you, you should accept it. So isn't this against the rida bil qada? His father became upset, rahimahullah ta'ala, and said, go sit down there. So obviously he sat down, and then he said, I have lived and experienced three great ulama and three great pious people, and I have seen them day and night, and I have learned from them. Then he mentioned that Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib, Muhajir Makki Rahimahullah, Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahimahullah, when he used to become unwell, he used to do the same. Even if it is a little bit of trouble, he will make a big noise. This is to say that, I'm a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm a very weak person. I don't want to show my strength in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. I want to say to Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm not capable of affording this trouble. Please take away from me. So I make this fuss to declare my weakness in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib's father, Rahimahullah, he said that I also lived and experienced Hazrat Gangohi Rahimahullah, one of our great akabir, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi. Hazrat Gangohi Rahimahullah Ta'ala, whenever he used to become unwell, immediately he will call a doctor. A little bit of headache, some fever, some cold, some cough, anything, everything. Immediately he will say, I'm not well, something is wrong with me, I need to see a doctor, I need to call a doctor, I need to have medicine. And he used to do that so much so that sometimes people said, Hazrat, you are relying on means, you are relying on asbab, medications, treatments and doctors. These are the asbab. We should have tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal. Isn't this against tawakkul? That we are relying on means and asbab. Every time, any trouble, you want to have the treatment. So, Hazrat Gangohi Rahimahullah, he used to say that the greatest maqam of tawakkul is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest maqam of abdiyah is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to do medication, he used to have treatment. So, he used to see that ilaj is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib, Rahimahullah himself, even if he become unwell, seriously unwell, he would not open his mouth. He would not open his mouth. Sometimes just, without intention something comes out of his mouth, then people realize that he has not been well for so long. And then when people used to say, SubhanAllah, you should have mentioned that, we could have done something about it. He said, well, it is coming from Allah Azza wa Jal. I would accept anything that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. So our akabir, rahimahumullah, they have shown how to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a great
blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah Azza wa Jal made us from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal gave him the maqam, which is called Maqam Mahmood. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَحَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. That at night you pray, hopefully your Lord will make you settle in the maqam of Mahmood. Some ulama, they have said this maqam of Mahmood is maqam of Mahsood, that everybody will be jealous, everybody will inveigh and admire how great status Allah Azza wa Jal gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some ulama, they said maqam of Mahmood is maqam of Shafa'a, that everybody will need his Shafa'a sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone will be in need. And Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment will show his great status in front of everybody. This honor of being from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comes with a great responsibility. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was Nabi for all the world. The Anbiya before him, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, he was sent to his people, Aad. Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam, he was sent to his people, Salih, sent to his people alayhi salam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent to all the people. So the more we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more we will have concern for the entire humanity. And when we look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he not only gave general instructions to people, he also gave specific instructions to a specific category of people. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see him talking to young people, Ya Ghulam, سَمِّ اللَّهَ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ. Oh little boy, when you eat, say Allah's name and eat with your right hand. يَا غُلَام احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Until the rest of the hadith. So he talked to the young people. He talked to the youth. يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَادَ فَلِتَذَوَّجْ. He talked to the women. يَا مَعْشَرَ النِّسَاءِ تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَوْ مِنْ حُلِيِّكُنَّا. Oh, group of women, folks of women, give sadaqah even though if it is from your own jewelry. Women should also give sadaqah. If you don't have cash, no problem, you have jewelry. You have jewelry. When Ramadan comes, the husband has to calculate zakah for the wife. Well, who is wearing the jewelry? If the wife, she is wearing the jewelry, well, she should give zakat. I'm not saying that if she authorizes the husband to give zakat, which she would do willingly, zakat will be done, zakat will be valid. However, whatever we have, we should give from that to Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you have gold, give from gold to Allah Azza wa Jal. You have silver, give from silver to Allah Azza wa Jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he addressed the women. He addressed the young, he addressed the old. He had concern for everybody. As Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to develop this concern. Because the more we develop this concern for the humanity, the more we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the more we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only he had concern for the human being, he had concern for the environment. He had concern for the animals. He had concern for the planet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is a famous hadith that if a person is planting a tree and the hour comes, a person planting a tree and the hour comes, he should still continue to plant because we need more trees. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once he went into the farm of Ansari Sahabi. There was a camel and the camel was crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the camel is complaining to me about the owner, that the owner does not look after. The owner makes the camel work and does not feed. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to give instructions about animals, that if you have animals, if you are traveling, well, if you see any grass, let the animals graze. Let the animals take break. Let the animals take rest. You don't overload them. If you have servants, you don't demand them to do work which is unaffordable to them. So we see the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for everybody. His mercy was for the men, for the women, and his mercy was for the Muslims, for the non-Muslims, for the whole world. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except as mercy to the whole world. This mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which includes everybody and which encompasses everybody and everything, this mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to come into us. And the more this mercy comes to us, the more we have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the more we will become from the followers of Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us tawfiq, and may Allah give us appreciation about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we will have hadith khitab.
جزاكم الله خيرا وحسن جزاكم.